You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Yud Tet. We're still holding on Yud Chet Amud Beit. And we are in the middle of this marvelous sugya about Hagroma. Now, we have found three shitot about Hagroma. Two shitot that argue about the place of Hagroma. So that the original two shitot that we're talking about whether you need Dafketaf Kulay Shalob Hagroma, only Rov Shalob Hagroma, they both agree that the place of Hagroma is to go above the Tabat Hagdola. And then we had the third sheet of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas, that was an Edut, that no, actually even above that is kosher. But we don't know exactly how far above that, that's what we're going to discuss today. And then we had the other Machloket about their whether you need kula, so that you would need a thin bit of the, in the case, if you happen to hold that the Tabat HaGdola is the place that's the maximal height of the Shrita, so then it would mean apnei kula or apnei ruba of the Tabat HaGdola. Obviously the same machloket would be true about other definitions of Hagroma.
Outside the place?
That's what it means, outside of the place. Now, I have a better illustration, which I'd forgotten to go through my library to find yesterday. These are much nicer illustrations. And I'd like you to look at some of this to get a sense of what we're talking about. If we take a look at this, what you're looking at over here is the Kodesh coming up from the lungs. I'm imagining coming up from the lungs with my fingers here, coming up from the lungs, and joining up with the thyroid. The thyroid comes out, it's what we call the Adam's apple, sticks out of the neck. And that is what you're feeling, that area, is that this part of the extended thyroid. If you would look through it from the bottom, that's the picture on top, you see these extensions into the thyroid itself, which are the vocal cords. Directly above this, there is what is known as the kova katan. The kova katan is what you can actually see in your mouth when you force the tongue down. So you see the epiglottis, which flaps up and down to close off the conus so that food doesn't get into it when you're swallowing, get into your lungs. Now, the question over here is that area between the epiglottis. And Rashi points out over here specifically, he discusses the epiglottis, and he says, don't make the mistake of thinking that the kova, because the sense of kova is a helmet, and a helmet sounds like a protection, and you might think that that's referring, because the truth is above, that's what's called the kova katan, above the opening, which is above the larynx that we're looking at over here, which are these two pieces, these two flaps of cartilaginous skin that are controlled by a muscle to open and close. So the area above it is also shaped like a kova. So that's called a kova on top of a kova. That's called the kova katan. Don't think, says Rashi, that that's what we're referring to over here. That's much closer to the head. And that's for sure already above the kova. What we're calling the shipui kova means from the point that this cartilage begins to slope upwards. So if you feel along your own neck, you could see that the larynx goes out until it reaches a point that we call the Adam's apple, and then begins to slope upward, going back in towards the opening of the throat. So that area is called the shipui kova. The shipui means the slope. The slope of the helmet, which is above that area, is called the upper area of the larynx. The kova, therefore, would mean. Okay? The bottom bottommost cartilage, which is not really part of the cornea, technically speaking, from the point of view of physiology, is actually what we call, do they have over here the, second, here's the tabat, they have a picture of the tabat, well, sort of, they only show from the outside. From the outside, you could see in this picture that the cartilage, along, which is called the cricoid cartilage, around the bottom of the larynx, from the outside, it doesn't even look like it's part of the cornea. So that is what we call the tabat hagdola. Because what's interesting is that the front part of it is just like the other tabaot. The back part of it, which is here, is a piece of cartilage that has grown over the cartilage's ring, which is the front of the tabat, and instead of connective tissue in the back, it's a solid piece of cartilage in the back, so it's even thicker than in the front. And for all intents and purposes, in a gross level, that creates one tabat. So even though lamaisi, you can clearly make out different ossification centers, it's not really that it's made differently than the other tabat. Oh, it's just b'chuber to the larynx, that's what we're calling the tabat agdola, not to be confusing. From the outside, it definitely looks very different. Yesterday we saw from the inside, over there it's more persuasive why we would call it the tabat agdola. If you take a look here, you can actually see the difference in the cartilage type. You have this is the tabat agdola, but what looks in the picture to be the bottom part of the tabat agdola looks like the other tabat. And the upper part looks like a piece of cartilage that doesn't belong there. But lamaisa, it forms one solid tabat, and because of that we call it a tabat. If you cut through it, you'd have a solid tabat, even though it's made out of different pieces. So, having recognized that, let's just take a look at one additional thing, and that is the big machloket about how to understand the nature of the chiti. Right here, if you take a look at the vocal cords, most of the Rishonim, that's the way that we paskin, hold it, that's the chiti. And we're going to be discussing the chiti. They're called chiti because they look like wheat, little kernels, one on each side as you look up. But the thing is that there is a structure which supports, it's the other side of the cartilage, which over here isn't even marked. And you can see it sticking out here. And that really is a continuation of the same structure that becomes the vocal cords. There is a sheet that holds that this is the chiti, in which case it's much, much higher. It's not how we paskin, but lamaisa, it's brought by a number of sheetas. So that would be what is marked over here as the corniculate cartilage, which is really part of the structure of the vocal cord. So the chiti, the way we learn the halacha, is inside, which is much lower, and the other approach is that it's the higher part towards the head. Fine. Okay, with that introduction, we can now continue going into what would be the nature of hagroma according to the shita of Rabbi Chanina ben Antipas. Because all he said was mugremet kshira. He doesn't say how far up. We saw yesterday that Rabbi Yochanan felt that Reish Lakish, who was marsher b'chuda de kuva, was going too far. Because chuda de kuva is at the top of the kofa, which is already sharp, so to speak, to the top of the ice cream cone shape. And that's where we're up to. Omer of Papi mishmeder rabba. If your shechita knife hits the chitim, then the shechita is no good. What exactly do you mean? You mean, the word poga has two meanings in Hebrew. It means to come in contact with, or it means to hurt, to cut through. So do you mean poga v'nagaben? Do you mean that you actually cut into the chiti? And that we find it used that way, let's say, when Benayo was sent by Shlomo to do his dirty work. So it always says, Vayiv Gabo Vayamot, which obviously doesn't mean he met right up to him and touched him nose to nose. It means he cut off his head. So basically, that's a real pigia. Odilma paga valonaga. What does it mean to meet up with? Like vayivgeubo malachei Elohim, which obviously doesn't mean they hit Yaakov Avinu. Means that he was pogea. He met them. So that would mean, now Rashi learns, what this means is going up from the lungs towards the head. So that paga, the naga, would be higher up towards the head. Tosfos learns the other way, that paga bo means, are you saying from the top of the head down, meaning that you're already out of the chit, or only if you're still within the chit? So he has to reverse the gears a little bit later on. We'll stick with Rashi's approach. So that would mean that if you're pogea bo, if you cut through, you're already too high. If you're pogea bo without cutting, you're still okay, perhaps. That's the question. Itmar, Omer of Papa, Mishmeda Rava, Shir Bechitik Shere. As long as something was left of the chite, even though you cut into the chite, it would be kosher, which means that it would still be all right. Now, Tosis points out that this seems to be a completely different shita. Why isn't this? Because, I mean, according to Rashi, paga would mean for sure it's possible. The question is, paga, in this case, shir, you left a little bit over. So you're saying that if you were paga, there's nobody who said that that was kosher. So this is mashma that it's in the other direction. That only if it's shir b'chiti, but if it was paga, meaning from on top going down, it would be possible. So this is one of the problems that Tosfos has with Rashi. But in any event, so this represents over here Rav Shita, that as long as anything was left of the chiti, it's kosher. Omer of Amemar Bar Mar Yanuka, I want you to know that I was sitting in front of Rabbi Chia Berei de Rav Havia, and he told me also, shir b'chiti k'sher, as long as there's something left, it's still kosher. Omer le Ravina le Ravashi, Omer le Rav Shama Misurva. Rav Shama Misurva said once Marzutran came to Surva, and he also gave a drosha, which he said, Shir Bechiti Kshera. Mar Bar Ravashi, Omer Poga Bechiti Kshera, but Shir Bechiti is Trefa. Now this approach is Rashi's approach, because it has to change the gears. This is going in the wrong direction. Because you can see the confusion over here. But three possibilities. Either paga, meaning you're right on top of the chiti lamala, and that's the maximum height, or paga, the maximum height is to be in the middle of the chiti, or paga means the maximum height is to be at the bottom of the chiti. V'yolchata, v'lmaisa, v'alocha is, of course, all of it going according to Chanina ben Antignus, because according to Rav and Shmuel and the Machlokes, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, all of this is ridiculous. It's all way outside of the work of Shkita. This is all above the Tabat HaGdolah. And therefore, we've completely ignored what we called the halacha before with Nahar, Nahar Upashti, and so on. The halacha is Bishipoy Kovo Lamata Kshira. At any point, beneath where the larynx begins to slope, it's kosher. And to say that such a thing is kosher is the equivalent of saying shir b'chiti. Because if you cut straight through the larynx, right at the point that it begins to slope, you're going to be cutting through the vocal cords. And therefore, it must mean that shir b'chiti is kshera. That's what you got to say. As long as there's something left, it's okay. Rem Nachman Akshar B'Shipukov of Lamata. Rem Nachman was Akshar, indeed, as we just said. Anything from the slope down towards the lungs. Omar Le Rav Chana Bar Rav Katina, who was used to the Shitas of Rav and Shmuel, that both took for granted that the Machlokes, Rabbon and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, was in Ogea, the place of the Tabat HaGdolah. So he said to him, what? Come on, this is like nobody. Loka Rabbanan, Veloka Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Who are you going like? I mean, even the Yedis, Reb Chanina ben Antignus, didn't say where. Oh, my lazy, listen, man, I don't know now Joes and Shmoes. I don't know Chilak Yadana, Lo Bilak Yadana. Don't start throwing names at me. Ana Shmaitha Yadana. I know that the halacha was given over, in a particular language. Some say it was Omer Baba Varzav, Omer Rabbi Chanina. Some say it's Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, Omer Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. This is the halach comes up all over the place. Mishiv poi kova lamata kshera. Period. Okay. So all of this discussion was assuming a different place for the work of Shechita. V'yomer Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi points out that where the Rabbanan say that it's a mugremet, meaning that it's a tiny part of the act of Shechita above the Tabat HaGdolah, that is kosher completely according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to ask all this of Shechita. What Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says is a mugremet, which is where you have more than a miut above the Tabat HaGdolah, is also completely kosher according to Rabbi Hanina ben Antignos. Of course, I understand. I mean, we know that. Pshita, that was the point. The Rabbanan say it's psula unless you have a pnei kula. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says it's only psula if you have less than the robe. And Rabbi Hanina ben Antignos says mugremes is kshera. So I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. There's no chiddush what you said. There is a chiddush. If I hadn't told you this, you might have thought, look, all it says is, let's look back again and see the language on Amud Beis. You don't have to turn your page, just look at Amud Beis on the third line. Umugremet psula, heid Rebbe Chanina ben Antignos, amugremet shikshera. Which mugremet? The mugremet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, or the mugremet of the Rabbana? If all Rebbe Chanina ben Antignos is saying, no, I agree with the Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, the Mugremet that the Rabbanan say, that's kosher. Maybe that's all he's saying. How do you know he's disagreeing with the basic yesod of the Tabat HaGdolah being the Mokum HaShechita? You see, that's what I'm telling you. Ma'adat Emer of Chanim and Antignos was saying that Mugremet that the Rabbanan said, I mean, look, these words, Umugremet Psula, as we pointed out yesterday, are the words of the Rabbanan, not the words of Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. So they are, maybe he's responding to that. Nah, Mugremet is Kshera, because I agree with the Rebbe, you don't need more than Rove. Kamash Malana. So I'm coming to tell you that there are three stages over here. Rabbanan, Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe Chanina ben Antignos. Hey, wait a minute, you know, now that you mention it, maybe you're right. I mean, maybe now you're wrong. Maybe Rebbe Chanina ben Antignos really was going only against the Rabbanan. He's like, no, that Mugremet is Kshera. I mean, yeah, but I agree with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. As long as you have Rov within the Tabat HaGdolah, I'm not saying you could go above the Tabat HaGdolah. Maybe that is what he means. Same Othinami. So now I really persuaded you, huh? Okay. So I'll show you why I'm telling, now that you understand Kiddush, I'll show you where I get it from. Why would it say, Eid Rebbe Chanina ben Antignos, Al HaMugremet Shikshera? If we just saw the word Mugremet Psula being a reference to the Rabbanan, so then it should have said, Hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, Alea Shikshera. Why say Al Mugremet? Meaning, on any of the above Mugremet. That's the point. I disagree with all of you. What you're calling a Mugremet, that's completely kosher, because the Tabat HaGdolah does not define the upper limits of the Shechita. Ve'ilchata, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, the Kayab Nachman Kavatei. As we just paskin, as Rabbi Nachman said, I don't know no chilix, I don't know no bilix, all I know is the Shemaitata. All of that, which is Rabbi Nachman being Machshav, Yishibukov of Lamata, basically, and everybody was shouting at him, who is this going according to? Obviously, he was going like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, except that he was defining where that Malkum was. I'll leave it to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. That means we can safely ignore both the Rabban and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. And it's because it's a Hayid. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi. We've got a really interesting question over here. I mean, Lamaisa, what the Rabban were saying was very curious. Because what they were saying is that even though if you shecht, and you would stop shechting at the point that you then started doing the Mugremet, I think you come back 5 minutes later, maybe. We're going to talk about that later on. And you finish up the act of Shechita, except in the wrong place. I mean, at this point, if you're in a butcher shop, and you continue cutting, you're going to say, oh, you just passed over, you finished your shechita in the wrong place. And we look at you like you're crazy. What do you mean? I don't know, what shechita? It's a piece of meat. No, look, you just cut through, you cut through the trachea. What do I get cut through the trachea? No, cut through the heart. It's a piece of meat. Right? But nonetheless, they're saying, since this is part of the act of shechita, it's possible. That's what they're saying. Because if I already finished two-thirds of the shechita. So now we want to clarify this. Says Ravuna, that Ravasi explains the machlokas over here between the Rabbanu and Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, is in a case where you started doing the shechita b'makom shechita. So let's say you shechted two-thirds of the correct place, shachat shnei shlish, and now the last shlish, you went out of the makom shechita, v'igrim shlish. So the Rabbanan hold, look, the entire act of shechita has to be within the tabat ha'gdolah. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, rubo is always kakulo, so what's the problem? Once you did rov, you finished the shechita. As far as I'm concerned, the rest, you're just cutting a piece of meat in the butcher shop. Why should I call that the act of shechita? But what I am convinced is that if you started the other way around, let's say you started doing the hagroma at an angle, now your knife gets into the tabata gdola on that diagonal, it started too high. It's okay, it's going downwards towards the lungs, and now by the time you're one-third of the way through the shechita, you're in the correct place. Then you do the two-thirds of the shechita,
the right,
in the right place. Then the shachat shnei shlish. There, I say everybody would agree you're possible, even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Because at least at the point of kinafka chiyuta, the point at which the shechita achieves the loss of life, when we call loss of life, we don't mean literally as measured by brain function or anything else, but as the way that the Torah defines this no longer being a living animal in terms of Eirim and Achai and so on, which is the makam of Rov Shechita. Rov Shechita, whether it's Simin or Simon, depending if it's a bird or if it's an animal. But many are the flying birds without heads, as I'm sure you've seen in the Shalach places, the old Shalach places. Quite frightening, but they fly around for quite some time without a head. in any event, but the nafak chiyuta, the point at which the Torah defines it as nafak chiyuta, there you need berov b'shechita. We're not saying, let's say, even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said, well, you don't need the whole act. Fine, you don't need the whole act. But you need the point at which we define the kashrus of the act. That point, which is rov of the simen, that point has to be done ruba b'shechita. And since over here you started with the agrova, and you only got to that point of rov, which having done one-third b'shechita, not rov b'shechita, that's no good. Even there, even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Omale Rav Chista, Rav Chista very surprisingly says quite the contrary. Adarabba, you can look at it exactly in the opposite way. Lemamar Ipcha, I would say, what you should say is this. Machloket kishugim shlish v'shochat shnei shlish. Actually, it's the other way around. Where would anyone have thought there's a problem if you started at the point where it's above the makom shlish, so that you were magrim the first shlish, then you get into the neck correctly, and then you're shochat shnei shlish? That's where Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, that's fine. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says, look, suppose you started off with a trachea that was halfway cut through. Now, there's no pagam of tarfus in the trachea, only in the esophagus. In the trachea, doesn't matter if you've got half of it open. I mean, basically, we do this all the time to make sure to open up we do tracheotomy, and we make sure people can breathe properly. So nothing wrong with that. Very simple kind of thing. So this animal's been walking around with a tracheotomy. No grace it could do less. It got a little tooth into its neck so it can breathe properly. Somebody pet. So, and now you go ahead and you add a little bit of a cut. Yeah, 1 millimeter. 1 millimeter. Half. Now you add a tiny little bit more. That's a kosher shechita, right? Because now you cut rove of the kana. What's the difference? If before the surgeon had cut it, I mean, it's irrelevant because that wasn't part of the shechita. So why isn't every higrim the first shlish the insertion of a tube? Basically, somebody was doing a tracheotomy. Fine. Now you're in the makom shechita. You add a little bit to that. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "What's wrong with that? That's the ma'isa shechita. It should be completely kosher, and therefore it's no different than a chatzi kana pogo, which started off with a problem. One half, you added a millimeter, and the rabbanan nonetheless argue. Now, if you look at it this way, you have to ask yourself, gee, why would the rabbanan argue? Sounds right. So the rabbanan argue because they would say that's true, but that's only because we now see the entire thing as an act of shechita, because it's a makom shechita. So you could say, what I've done is, this is what's left for me to complete the opening of the kana in a makom shechita. But you can't say where you cut through the kana in a different place. And now the knife goes down, and now it's in the makom shechita. Where did we ever see that cutting a millimeter within the makom shechita where the rest of it wasn't in the makom shechita? How do you know that that's a kosher shechita? I would say that something that's not in the makom shechita can't be mitzuraf to that last act. So you never did a shechita. It's time you drilled a hole through the middle of the kana, basically. The first part wasn't part of shechita. Aval! But if you've done it the other way around, this is what I'm suggesting, says Rav Chisda. If you want to say that there's a difference between starting, how you started, and so then the way to say it is like this, everybody would agree that if, the way you thought, shachat shnei shlish, you started doing a shechita, and now the last third after you already finished the shechita, basically, the last third you were magen, why would anybody argue about that? The Rabbanan would also hold that that's kosher. That's why it says in the Mishnah, Dotznan, Ruba Shal Echad Kamo. That's the general rule. And we even said that's part of the Remez in the Torah. Vizavakta Ka'asher Tziviticha. Ka'asher spells backwards, Ruba Shal Echad Kamo. It's Tosis point. So, why would anybody argue on Ruba Shal Echad Kamo? Omla Rav Yosef, well, wait a minute over here. Maybe Ruba Shal Echad Kamo was part of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudas Shita. I mean, he's the one who said all along that, what do I care? Once you did the robe, I don't care what you do the last third. Maybe this is him who's saying, and Ruba Shal Echad Kamo? Maybe the Rabbanan would insist that you have to cut through the entire kana in order for it to be a shechita. And how do you know when it says Ruba Shal Echad Kamo that you're saying everybody would agree? Maybe indeed that Ruba Shal Echad Kamo is a din by Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So man name alone dahu Ruba da'atam lav Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda katanila. And who's to say that that itself is not part of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Dilma Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda katanila. I'm like, Abaya, that's insane. All of a sudden, no, any time we see the word Ruba Shal Echad Kamo, it's going to be Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda katanila? Who ever heard of such a thing? This is madness. Atu kol Ruba di Alma Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda katanila? Amar le, hey, hold on a second here. We're talking about shechita. Did we just have a machloket in shechita? Whether higrim shlish, I don't care how you learn it. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is saying that I don't care about higrim shlish. Why? Because Ruba Shal Echad Kamo. So do you see that there is a machloket when it comes to shechita? I mean, it's undeniable. There's a machloket when it comes to shechita about where we can apply Ruba Shal Echad Kamo. You also agree to that. So I'm just saying, maybe any application of Ruba Shal Echad Kamo is only Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Shechita, obviously. I mean, if the Rabbanan say that the act, maybe the Rabbanan say that the act of Shechita consists of cutting through the entire kana, how do you know it's not that way? You're saying everybody would agree at that point. For sure you already did the Shechita. Maybe you didn't do the Shechita, according to Rabbanan. That's all I'm saying. Ana Ruba de Shechita Ka'amin. I'm talking about, in the context of Shechita, it's true that that Mishnah is not said in the context of Hagroba, and it's just describing what a Shechita consists of. But what is so insane about applying the Machlokas we have over here of Hagroba in the first parak to the description of the act of shechita in the second part? Maybe it's all we shamanu to the plague, we know there is such a machloket. Why can't that be a libra the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? This was the first approach of the two approaches that we just had in the discussion between Rav Chisda, who is suggesting that we should look at it the other way around than the way that it was initially by Rav Huna, initially described as starting in outside of the Makom Shechita, inside the Makom Shechita, But starting outside of Makom Shechita would be, Kulei Alma would be not good, and Rav Chisda is saying, I see just the opposite. If you want to make a difference, then make the other difference. Everybody would be motivated. It is good if you started in the Makom Shechita. Now, the entire statement above was reported in a different lashon, according to which Rabbi Yosef and Rav Chisda and Rabbaya invert the words of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbaya are inverted here. So that Lishnach Rina Amrila, that Rav Huna was the one who said, Amar Vun Amar Vasi, Machloket Shigrim Shlish V'Shachat Shlesh. But the second way was the original way that he said. The Machloket is Dafk, if you started outside of the Makom Shechita, that Rabbi Yosef says, well, even so, it's kosher, it's no different than a Chatzikana Pogrom. And the Rabbanan say, no, that's a Makom Shechita, it is not a Makom Shechita. But if you did the Shechita first in the right place, Shnei Shlish, and then you were Magrim Shlish, then everybody would agree that it's kosher, because Ruba Shalekot Kamohu. In this version, Rav Chisda's attack on the statement of Rav Huna is exactly the opposite, because in the first statement, Rav Chisda was the one who suggested what Rav Huna is saying over here. In the second version, Rav Chisda Gufa said what Rav Yosef said. How do you know? Man leim lan dahu rubet alatsam lav Rav Yosef Rav Yudah katani lo. Maybe it's Dafka going like Rav Yosef Rav Yudah, and Rav Yosef Rav Yudah is the only one who holds Rubet Shalakot Kamo, and the Rabbanan hold, when you say Shechita, you mean the entire thing from beginning to end. Now in this version, it's Rabbi Yosef, who was the one that was in the previous version, the one who was attacked by this very shouting match. It's Rabbi Yosef himself who says what Abaya said to Rabbi Yosef in the first lashon. So Rabbi Yosef says, what? What are you, crazy? Kol Ruben Yom, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Katani La. To which Rav Chisda in this version replies, I'm talking about Ruben Ishkita, the Shaman Elo de Pligi. Okay. Now, how about a fascinating case? You start off doing Agrama with one third. You then move into the Makom Shechita and do the next third, such that the rov, when it comes, is come when the knife is within the Tabat HaGdola or the Makom Shechita, wherever that is. And then you move out again. So now, Higrim, the last Shlish. What about there? So Higrim Shlish, Shachat Shlish, Higrim Shlish. So Rav Huna Amar Rav says, that's Hoshe. Now, obviously, Rav Huna can't possibly have really said that if he said before, Higrim Shlish V'Shachat Shnei Shlish would be possible. How in the world could he say that if you were even Magrim Shnei Shlish and only Shachat Shlish and Kosher? Obviously, that first part was going in. He was saying it not in the name of Rav, like he's saying it over. He's saying the name of Rav Atz, and that was referring to the Hagroma of Rav and Shmuel in the Machlokas Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Here he's talking about our Hagroma, and this is what Rav is referring to. So there's different shitot. So he's saying, if you're talking about in terms of the Shipui Kova, so in Higrim Shlish, Shachash, Higrim Shlish, Rav Tainas, it's Ksheira. Rav Yehuda Omar, Rav Tainas, it's Treif. I'm not quoting Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda is to what Rav Shita was. Rav Huna Omar, Rav Ksheira.
Why?
Because the important point is, where is the knife at the time that it's cutting through the point of road? And that point is what defines the Shlita. That point is Rov, that's the middle third. Rov always manages to come out in the middle third, no matter how you cut it. So therefore, as long as you did the middle third b'shchita, you're doing the Rov, that means that at that point the Rov of Simon was in a Makom Shechita, that's fine. So kinafak chiyuta b'shchita kanafak, what's wrong? Rav Yehuda says, no, Rav said just the opposite. Rav said you need Ruba b'shchita. Rov, you don't have Rov of the act of Shechita done. It's a bit to be done b'shchita, b'leka. You don't have it.
That's a different process.
Correct. He's introducing now a concept called Ruba has to be done b'shchita. And over here, two-thirds out of the one-third was not done b'shchita. So the act is mostly not a shchita. Okay? So one is going according to the makom of nafak chiyuta. The other one is going according to the din of the act of the shchita itself. Okay? Now, Rashi says, be very careful. But there was a girsa. Ki nafak chiyusa bina ruba b'shchita. But no, he never says that. He's just saying bina ruba b'shchita. Right? So in other words, we have to take a look at the act as a whole. It has nothing to do with the point at which nafak chiyusa. That's Rav Huna's approach. But review it as approaches. You don't need nafak chiyuta. You look at the act as a whole. Okay, now, let's reverse it. Do a shechita b'shlish, move out in the middle part, which, according to Rav Huna, was the crucial part. then move back in again. There you have Rove of the act is b'shchita, but the Nafak Chiyuta moment is not b'shchita. How about that? So in that case, if you were just the opposite, and you were shachat shlish, higrum shish for shachat shlish, says Rav Yehuda, Rav said that that's kosher. Why did Rav say that that's kosher? Because you had, that's very good according to Shita, Ruba b'shchita. What do I care about this nafak chiyuta jazz? Who came up with that one? It's a din in shchita. Do you have mostly b'shchita? Ruba shalachot kamo. What do I care whether it's rov for the first third and the last third, or rov for the first two thirds? I don't care. It's Ruba, that's kosher. So they went and asked Rav Huna, what would you say? Rav Huna did not know what Rav said. There was no Rav Huna Amara. They said, what would you think the dinner would be? So they went and asked Rav Huna, what do you think? He says, I think it would be treifa. And obviously, according to him, it's consistent to say it's treifa. Because he initially tined, you look at the Nafak Chiyuta point. The Nafak Chiyuta over here is B'Hagroma. Now Rav Yehuda heard that and he blew a gut. Ikpid, this is ridiculous. I say it's treif, you say it's kosher. I say it's kosher, you go and say it's treif. Om Rav Huna, he's right to be upset. Shaper commitment, I mean, he's right. First of all, he's quoting Rav. I mean, I'm just saying what I think. So, Iyu Shmiele Minei Rav, Ana Lo Shmiele. And, I mean, the truth is, it does sound pretty persuasive. I mean, you do have Rav in the Shlita. Isn't that important? I'm going to say, hey, if you pull back now, you're done for. Because you were being completely consistent. You're going to change your mind, then you're going to lose everything you said up until now. You got to make your mind up. Either you're going to take a stand on this issue, or you're going to give in. So, Amalei Rav Chista, don't change your mind now. We're all holding on. Because Im Kein Mafsadet Halacha Kamaita. If you're going to change your mind now, you're going to have to pull back from what you originally said. Because, look, why did you say it was kosher if Igrib Shlish Rakashish Igrib Shlish? You said the Kinafka Chiyuta Bechsherika Nafka. It all goes according to the point of Rove. That's what's important. You don't look at the act in its entirety. So then if that's the same, you have to say the same thing over here. Or Kanama, if the point is, where is Nafak Chiyuta, which is the Rove of the Simen, at that point you were Bahag Roma. You're in the middle Shlish. So Bahag Roma Kanafka. Ikla Rav Nachman Surah. Rav Nachman come to Surah and they ask him, Bo Minei, Shachat Shlish V'Higrim Shlish V'Shachat Shlish Mal. Omar Lahu. So what would be the din in this particular case where you'd had the middle part was Bagrom? So he said, look, I think that there's a definitive psak on that. I mean, obviously we have this Bachlokas over here about what Rav Shita would have been. But Lamaisa, we know that Rav Elazar ben Menyume gave over a psak, which is Domer Rav Elazar ben Menyume. If you do a Shita like a hairbrush or a comb, Hasuyaka Masrek Shira. How do you do a Masrek? Zigzag. So it looks like a comb, basically. So you're going up and down, up and down. Meaning, in the Makom Shechita, out of the Makom Shechita, in the Makom Shechita, out. That's what I think it means. But otherwise, who cares if it's shaped like a comb? He says, the Gemara, what do you mean, who cares? Maybe it that. He's talking about when the entire comb was Makom Shechita. How do you know it has anything to do with Hagroma? Who put in that part? Gimba B'Makom Shechita? What? So no, Makom Shechita. Well, what's the Chiddush? No, there is a Chiddush. Because, I mean, look, all along we've been saying that Shechita, the base of Shechita is Mir Hagroma. Maybe Shechita has to be Mifora. Maybe part of Shechita is that the neck should open up. You're going to do this comb-like thing. Then it obviously is not going to open because you don't have a hinge, really. There's no one place where it's hinged. It's going up and down. So because of that, you don't have a Shechita Mefurat. So maybe he's just coming to say that's not a problem. We don't need Shechita Mefurat. So I might have thought about it, maybe a Shechita Mefurat. But don't bring me a riot for the fact that it's shaped like a comb. That necessarily that's dealing with the Hagroma issue. Yotiv Rav Abba heard Rav Kahana. The Rav Abba was sitting behind Rav Kahana in the room. Yotiv Rav Kahana kamei the Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda, who was the one who was going to answer the question. And he raised the issue of Kahana, the Gama, Shachat Shlish V'Igrim Shlish V'Shachat Shlish Mahal. Our question. And how about the other way around? Igrim Shlish V'Shachat Shlish V'Igrim Shlish Mahal. Amale Shchitasuk Psula. So in other words, the Shchita is kosher if the Shachat Shlish was the middle part. That's okay. So first he paskin to him, if the middle part is Habahagrama, as long as the rove, like Rav Yehuda Taina, is an act of Shchita, kosher. The other way around, where the middle part, Shortcut Shalit, but the Rov was not, he said Shkita Psula. Again, consistent with the Psa'a of Rabbi Amaran. How about if you were Shachat B'mokam Nekem? What would be the din if there was a hole there? And you do that additional millimeter, which we spoke about before, Chatzik on a pug. You stick your knife into the place where there's already a cut, and you add. That's fine. Well, how about if you start at the other end, and you meet the hole? What would be the din? Shachat U'Pogabo Nekem Ma'av. In that case, you didn't shecht a roof. You only shecht it half. So Rabbi Abba went and said this over to Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer went and said over to Rabbi Yochanan. Omalei, I don't understand. What is the difference whether you add from inside the hole or you add from outside the hole and meet the hole? It doesn't make any sense. Omalei, sure makes sense. Look, suppose if you shecht inside of the neck, okay, let's compare it to a case. A goy is there in the shlachtai. The goy does the first half. And then you say, do me a favor, let me finish that. And you finish it up. Would it be kosher? Yes. Because you finished up the shechita. But over here, first you did half. And then the goy does the next part. He finished the shechita. That wouldn't be good now, would it? It's exactly the same thing. If we view the nekev as a goy, then if you continue where the nekev was, then you're completing the shechita. But if the nekev continues from you are, then the goy is completing the shechita. It's just confusing. It's like what you do to the kids when you say, see, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 plus 5. And they're sitting there and scratching their head. Oh my God, how did that work? What did I do wrong? So he's trying to say this over to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan bursts out laughing. Ovid kochavim, Ovid kochavim. Omar Rava, Shaprikor Eli over Kacham over Kacham. Rabbi Yochanan is right to say, what kind of nonsense is that? Goya, Goya, man. It's a Bishlema Hatam. I mean, look, you know, over there, in the case of the Shlachtas, where he handed over to the Goy, the act of Shchita consisted of, let's define, what do you need to do to make this kosher? Okay? What you need to do to make this kosher is to shech rov. You stopped before you shech the rov, handed it to a Goy to finish the Shchita. You never did the Shchita. So there, minahavim le Yisrael mishkat ruba v'lo shachat. So at this point, kinav v'chiyuta v'yadav v'chachom kanav. So he did the critical moment of nafka chiyuta. But in the other case, what is the act of shechita? The act of shechita is to add a little bit to that hole. Now, who the heck cares what direction you added to the hole? I don't understand what you're talking about. Michtei mishkat shachat. You did the entire act of shechita. Mali b'mokam nekev, mali pagabo nekev. What is the meaning of adding versus greeting? Who cares? You need to define the act, and you define the act. You did the act. It's perfectly okay.
The
hole defines what's left of the kana. That's all. So what's left of this kana is to cut an additional millimeter of it. That's not an issue. Shall we? That's what I call commitment. Hashochet min hatzadim shkitato kishira. Hamolek min hatzadim melikato psula. We are going to embark now on a series of mishnayot that define one thing in terms of the other. We have mirror image mishnayos coming up. The first of which is the interesting. Going to have a lot of kachim issues here. The interesting comparison of shkita to melika. Now, we know that malika is done by the Kohen with his fingernail, and it's done from the back of the neck, which is called mimul orpo. And there is a big problem over there when it comes to shechita, because if you actually do a shechita mimul orpo, you will be first cutting through the spine. If you do that, then by the time you get to the simonim, this animal is defined as dead, as we're going to see. Spine meaning the bone and the spinal cord, spinal column, and because you're cutting with a knife, and the muscle around it. Your knife, as we said before, is going to have a rough time cutting the mafrekin, and maybe the derech would be that would cause a pegim in the saki. So, therefore, as long as you shecht in the neck area, and that could be even on the side of the neck, because you don't have to necessarily cut right in front, as long as you're not cutting through the simonium from the back where you're hitting everything else where you get simonium, that would be kosher. But if you were molek minat stadim, which is not called mimul or
pole, which is defined very specifically as the back of the neck. If you go to the tzadim, milikato psula. Hashochet mina oref. On the other hand, if you do shchita from the back of the neck, shchita is possible. But if you're molek mina oref, the malik is kosher. Now, obviously, when we say kosher, we mean that is the correct way to do it. The reason we say kosher as if it's a bidiyavad is because we're contrasting it to the other pasul. So this would be pasul where this is kosher and right, and the other would be pasul where the other is kosher and correct. Hashulchet minat savar, if you cut the neck, your shkita is kosher, I should hope so. If you're molek minat savar, your malika is pasul. The rule being, whatever, kola oref is kosher malika, all of the back of the neck is kosher for malika, all of the neck is kosher l'shkita, which means that kosher b'shkita, pasul malika, kosher malika, pasul b'shkita, to be discussed what that particularly is pasul. Now, when you say the oref, that's awfully confusing, because technically speaking, you cannot do malika in the oref, even though we say all the time oref. But it can't really mean the oref, because the Torah said mimul oral. The oref itself is actually not the neck. It would be the back of the skull. The part of the bone that is facing from behind your face. The mul oref would be the entire area of the neck that faces that back of the head. And therefore it's dafka, the spinal cord, along the spinal column along the back, which is where that bone essentially culminates. So when you say oref, you're confusing me, because if you mean Orev Mamish, you're going to have to read through that book and figure out why this is happening. If you mean Orev Mamash, so then my Irish Shochet, Afilu Molek Nami. Even if you would do Malika at the Orev, it would be possible, because the Torah only says that you can do the Malika Mimul Orpo, facing the Orev, and not the Orev itself. Okay, so in other words, I just want to clarify. Elamai Oref, the use of the word Oref is shorthand in the Mishnah for Mul Oref, meaning the back of the neck, not the back of the head. That's the important point. Okay? And I'll prove that to you, by the way. I mean, you take a look just at the language. The last part of the Mishnah says, Kol Oref Kashal Malika. Okay? There is no Kol Oref. What's Kol Oref? If the Oref meant literally the Oref, and it's talking about a tiny little bone. So Kol Oref has to be referring to something that's a long area. Kol Oref means the whole neck. The whole neck is kosher for malika. So obviously it's not literally the oref. But how do we know this? You know what I mean? The Tana Rabbana mimul orpo. The Torah specifies mimul orpo, and that's malakat rosho mimul orpo. That meaning of the word mul is haroe et haoref, the place that looks upon the actual oref of the head of the skull. V'chein omer v'hu yoshev mimuli, we just had in the Parshat HaShavua. That's exactly what Balak was talking about when he writes to Bilam. Look at these guys. Uyoshev mimuli, the Omer. Furthermore, it says, Kiponu alai oref velo panim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains that they turn their back of their heads to me and not their face. Wait a minute. That doesn't prove anything. Which you asked me what mula oref is, and then you're talking to me about the oref. What is that for? My the Omer. None. There's two separate points here. V'chi tema, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, okay, now we know mimul orpo means haroe et haoref, but I don't know where the oref is. Maybe the oref is his nose. So v'chi tema oref gufa lo yadina neheka. If you're going to turn to me and say, well, I don't know where the oref is, that would allow me to neidam muldi deheka, which would explain where the mula oref is. Okay, for that, I'm telling you, the next pasuk, toshma, kiponu alai oref alo panim. So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is contrasting the face to the oref, which means that the oref is behind the face. So mechlad, the oref lahare panim, in which case the mula oref would be the neck. Now we have that clear. Omer papi bishmei derava, poga b'chiti treifa, iboilo. Poga v'noga b'em dechti v'yivga bo v'yamot, odimo poga v'lo noga, kirechti v'yivga bo malachi Elohim. Idbar Omer Papa Mishmei Rava Shir Bechitet Kshera Omer Rava Meimar Bar Mar Yanuka Avike Ibn Kavet Rav Chia Bereder Rav Avya The Omer Li Shir Bechitet Kshera Omer Le Ravina Le Rav Asher Omer Le Rav Shama Misura Ikla Bar Zurter La Atrin Vadorash Shir Bechitet Kshera Mar Bar Rav Asher Mar Poga Bechitet Kshera Shir Bechitet Treifa Veilchata Mishipo Ikova Lamata Kshera, which is the equivalent of Shir Bechitet. Reb Nachman was Marsha Mishipa Kova Vilamata. Amar Le Reb Chanan Reb Katina Reb Nachman. Whoa! Come on, look Rabbanu, look Reb Yosef Reb Yehuda. Amar Le Ana Lo Chilak Yadana Lo Bilak Yadana Ana Shmaita Yadana. Dom Rabbi Baravon Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Rabbi Bar Zavon Rabbi Chanina Vavilom Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yidim Rabbi Yerushalayim Ben Levi Mishivo Yekova Ulamata Kshira. Yom Rabbi Yerushalayim Ben Levi, just to put things into perspective, the Mugremet Rabbanon is Kshira L'Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah. The Mugremet of Yosef Rabbi Yudah is Kshira L'Rabbi Chanina Ben Atignos. I should hope so, Pshita. Ah, not so. Because Mada Temer Rabbi Chanina Ben Atignos is referring back to the Mugremet of the Rabbanon Koy, in which case he's agreeing with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah. Komash Balan. Hey, you know what? Maybe it is. Hey, Machinami. Aha! Imken he id aleha mi boyle, not he id al mugremet, meaning on all the above mugremet. Vilchata karunachan antignos, the kair of nachman kavate. Omrev and Omrev Asi, the whole machloket between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, and the Rabbona, what's talking about is Yeshachat Shnei Shlish, Vigram Shlish. Rabbona Savi, look, you gotta have kula shkidipitabat kidulah. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah Savar Ruba Kukula, but if you started with Imram Shlish and then you Shachat Shlish, everybody holds this possible. Because Kinava Kiyuta binum Ruba Bashita, Voleka. Omele Rechista Adaraba, you could say just the opposite, Lemomar Ibcha. Machloket, Kishigram Shlish, Shachat Shlish, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah Savar, what's the difference between this and Chatzikana Pogum? And the Rabbanan say, no, over there, it's Mokab Shchita, Achalam Mokab Shchita. Ava Shachat Shnei Shlis first, and then Ikram Shlis, everybody agrees it's kosher. That's not Ruba Shalachat Kamo. Amale Rabbi Yosef, and who's to say that when it says Ruba Shalachat Kamo, that's not Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Katanila. Dom Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Katanila. Amale Abaya, what in the world? You ought to call Ruba the Am Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Katanila? Amale, I'm talking about Ruba the Shchita coming in, the Shaman of the Plige. Mishnach Rina Amale. But if you started doing Shachat Shnei Shlish, Vigram Shlish, nobody argues on that. In this version, Rav Chista's Hatkafa is Dafka, what Rabbi Yosef was saying before. Ma Leimelon Da'ul, Rubat Atam, Laf Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Katanel. Dilma Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Katanila, and Abaya's shouting was done here by Rabbi Yosef. Amalei Rabbi Yosef about to call Rubin the Amr, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Katanila. And here Rabbi Chista answers what Rabbi Yosef answered in the previous version. Amalei Ana Rubin the Shchita Kaim Nadu Shaman Alev Pligi. Now how about Igrim Shlish, Vishachat Shlish, Vigrim Shlish. Shruvun Amr Rav Kshira, Ravun Amr Rav Trefa. Shruvun Amr Rav Kshira, Kinafak Chiyuta Bashchita Kanafka. So we have three shitot. Benafak chiyuta ruba b'shchita, the entire act ruba b'shchita, or the point of which nafak chiyuta is b'shchita, not ruba b'shchita. Because the latter two is the latter machloket here in the real mugremet, and the first two are the original machloket over here in the sheet of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Rav. Shachat Shlish v'Igrim Shlish v'Shachat Shlish. Rabbi Yudah Rav Kshera. Did I skip? I think so. Igrim Shlish v'Shachat Shlish v'Igrim Shlish. Rabbi Yudah Rav Kshera, Rabbi Yudah Rav Trefa. Rabbi Yudah Rav Kshera, Kenaf Chiyot v'Shchita Kenaf. No, I said. Rabbi Yudah Rav Trefa, Ben Ruv v'Shchita v'Leka. Shachat Shlish v'Igrim Shlish v'Shachat Shlish. Rabbi Yudah Rav Kshera. Otashadu the Rabbi Yudah Rav Trefa. Shama Rav Yudah Ikpid. Omar, what? Tarif no machshir. Machshan of a tarif. Omar Rav Yudah, no, you know, he's really right. Shapka Mikpid. Choda. Iu Shmieli. Minei Rav Ana Lo Shmieli. Yeah, he's got a good point. It's Ruba B'Shchita. Omar Rav Chista. Stand your ground. Lo Tadu B'Cho. Dim Kein Mafsad Ad Ala Lekamaita. Hata Maitam Eka Makhsharta. Tchinaf Kechiyut Bekshir Akanaf. No. So then you have to say the same thing as you're over here. Who's to say that's talking about Hagroma? What do you mean? There's no such thing. Yotiv Rabbah, according to Rav Kana, Yotiv Kana committed with Yudah, V'yotiv ka'amar shachat shlish v'higrim shlish v'shachat shlish ma'o omar l'shchitato k'shera, because you've got ruba b'shchita. Higrim shlish shachat shlish v'higrim shlish ma'o omar l'shchitato k'shera, you don't have ruba b'shchita. Shachat b'makam nekev ma'o omar l'shchitato k'shera. Shachat u'pagabon nekev ma'o omar l'shchitato p'sula. Oz rababa omar kamei rabbelozer. Oz rabbelozer omar kamei rabbi yochanan. Omalei, how do you justify that? Omalei, well, shachat b'makam nekev, nasa k'misha shachat ovid k'chovim v'goma Yisrael. Shachat u'pogabon nekev, nasa k'misha shachat Yisrael v'goma ovid k'chovim. Korele, ovid k'chovim, nonsense. Omarova shaper korele ovid k'chovim, ovid k'chovim. Mishlema, hotam n'avele Yisrael mishchat ruba v'lo shachat. K'inova k'chiyut b'yodor ovid k'chovim k'navka, that's the act of shchita was done by the Akra. The whole that exists is not the act of Shechita. Mirte, Mishchat, Shochit, whatever there was to be Shochit. Mali, Bamakam Negev, Mali, Papagabo Negev. Hashochit, Minat Stadim, Shechita Tokshira, Molek, Minat Stadim, Ilikatopsula. Hashochit, Minat Orev, Shechita Tokshira, Hamolek, Minat Orev, Ilikatopsula. Hashochit, Minat Savar, Shechita Tokshira, Hamolek, Minat Savar, Ilikatopsula. Shekola Orev, Koshila, Malika, Vakola Savar, Koshila, Shechita. Now, I don't like that word oref. I mean, what do you mean? You know, oref mamash, and even malika is possible. Since the Torah says me mul orpo amrachmana, not orpo. Elam, my oref has got to be mul oref. And by the way, that's clear from the Sefer. Kola oref kosher malika. Kol could only be the neck. We know any mele. The Torah Rabbana me mul orpo means mul. Facing haroeh ta oref, v'chenu omer v'yoshev mimuli, v'omer kipanu alive oref v'lo panim. What was that last piece? Maiva omer? Yeah, because maybe you'll tell me. Oh, I don't know where the oref is. The neda mular podi deecha, tashma kipanu alive oref v'lo panim, which shows us where the oref is. Echlad the oref, ladi panim, and now we know that mu means roeh. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Now he has to touch the paper. Okay, we got up to Yotes Amid Aleph, Maseches Chulin. And I promised you yesterday that we would take a look at the sugya once again to see what Tosis does with it, because there's a lot of problems with Rashi. First, let's just review what we've basically the very sheet that we've seen so far. We've had three basic dinim in Hagroma. Hagroma means to be shechting outside of the Mokum Shechita. So in our Mishnah, we were presented only with two shechitas. We have the Tanakama. Tanakama said you need to shecht within the Tabat HaGdola. And that's the only Tabat, it's the only ring that goes around the trachea in a way that is complete. Doesn't need connective tissue at the end. And the other Tabot are called Tabot Ktanot. So if you shecht within the Tabat HaGdola entirely, so there's a little thin sliver of Tabat above your knife, you haven't gone too high. But if there's not a sliver above your knife, there's a place at which you went too high, and any place, even if it's beyond the robe, is going to be possible. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, said, it's only al pnei ruba. Once you shecht the robe, doesn't matter whether your knife now goes out towards the head above the Mokum Shechita. Those were the two Shechitas, and there's various things that we'll get into in a moment about these two Shechitas. But then we had the third major Shechita was the Edus of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that Mugremes of that sort is completely kosher. What precisely is possible, he didn't say. But it's not defined, according to him, by the Tabat HaGdola. Now, we were considering yesterday, so what is defined then, according to the Edus of Rebbe Chanina ben Antigonus? What exactly do we call a hagrama. So there we had already a number of different shitas. Reish Lakish, he took things the furthest. He said that the heter of, and it's not considered to be a mokum mugremis, but rather it's all mokum shtita, all the way up to the top of the kova, the hood of the kova. And the kova is a helmet-like cartilage above the top of the kabat hagdolah. And all the way up to the top of that helmet-like affair, it's kosher. And Rabbi Yochanan said he holds that's taking it too far. Now then we got into the lesser shitas, and here's where we have our machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Yesterday we saw that Rav Papi said pegiah in the titi is a treva. Now we took that to mean you're shechting in the kova. There's a place in the kova which are called the chiti. We pointed out yesterday in the picture, according to most shitas. Again, this is not a very lemaisedika thing because this doesn't happen. But therefore, it isn't clear precisely what the chiti are. But the chiti were in mid-kova, approximately. And the Rav Papi quotes Rava as saying, well, if you were paga b'chiti, you're trefa. Now, if we take that to mean you're going from bottom up, if you're so far up that you hit the chiti, then it's already trefa. And it's very clearly not like Reish Lakish, and he's going down into the kova towards the tabata gdolah, and he's saying only there it's kosher. But we weren't sure what that meant. Did paga mean to hit, meaning to cut through them? Or did paga mean, even if you didn't get through them, you just got up to them, it's already outside of the mokum shvita? So we asked that, and what happened is, at this point, and here's where the sugi starts to fall apart, according to Rashi. Because at that point, the Gemara brings a raya from Rav Papa's quote of Rava to what Rav Papi's quote of Rava was meant to mean, correct? In other words, Rav Papi quoted, Om Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava, Paga Bakit. So we ask, what does that mean? And we say, well, Itmar, Om Rav Papa, Shir Bakitik Shera. Now, the problem is that Shir Bakitik Shera does not allow for either interpretation, right? Because shir b'chiti k'shera means that even if you hit the chiti and you leave some over, it's still kosher. The only two tzedakim that we had yesterday in Rav Papi's approach were maybe it's treif even if you just got up to the chiti, or maybe it's only treif when you hit the chiti, literally. But certainly nobody's going to be maksher when you hit the chiti. And now comes along Rav Papa and says, no, actually, it's kosher when you hit the chita. So then what are you saying? Itmar, Om Rav Papa. That Itmar, Om Rav Papa. If Rav Papa is arguing on Rav Papa, it should just say, Rav Papa, Omar. So Omar in the name of Rav as follows. And there's an argument between Rav Papa and Rav Papa. So already something is very strange over here. Now, let's continue and see the other problems. Omra v'amema v'amar yanuk, again, I was standing by Rukhiya, Breder of Avya, and he tells me also, Shia b'chitik shera. Says Ravina to Ravashi that he heard about a psak that Marzutra gave in Ripshaman Misurva's town, and he said also, Shia b'chitik shera. So we have now these three shitas all in one line. And now we have Mar Bar Ravashi, and we're going to have to take that into consideration also, as you'll see. Mar Bar Ravashi says, Paga b'chitik shera, shir b'chitik shreifa. Now this is the one place that's going to be problematic. My goodness, we have missed you. Have you been well? Good. So Paga b'chitik shera, you'll notice that what changes here in Mar Bar Ravashi is that he adds Paga b'chitik. Okay? And that's why it's going to be important, as we'll see. So, the problem over here, says Tosfos, is that if we make the assumption that we're going from bottom up, then we have a raya that actually contradicts both approaches that we had before, which is never the derech of the Gemara to say, does it mean paga, or does it mean paga v'naga? And the Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya, it means neither. But how does that up the club? Therefore, I mean, there's something of a problem in the language as well, because here it says, Paga b'chiti. That's introduced only by the last Mandiyama, right? Mar Bar Ravashi. What does paga b'chiti mean, according to that? What's the word paga mean in this case? Paga v'lo naga. Because shir b'chiti, he's saying, shir b'chiti then would be trefa. Now, it's very strange to believe that we just brought a raya that the language is used in the opposite way that we said before. Before we were bringing a raya that according to Rav Papa, I mean, at least according to Rashi, we could say, well, I mean, Rav Papa certainly is talking about paga in the sense of actually hitting. And Marbar of Rashi says, well, if you were only paga, it's kosher, but if you actually were hitting, it's trefa. So then you're using the word in the opposite sense. Now, how are we going back and forth and using the word paga one way and then paga the other way? I mean, even if you're saying that Marbar of Rashi is arguing, and he holds if you shear b'chiti, meaning you actually hit the chiti, it's trefa. But that means that he's using the word paga, is that you didn't actually hit the chiti. So then why? How did you use until now the word paga, leaving the papa b'shrim n'rova? Is that certainly paga? It's even kosher, even if you did it, but it certainly means paga. Paga v'naga. So therefore, according to Rashi, Tosfos, the entire sugya is messed up. Therefore, Tosfos takes the other approach. We're not going from bottom up. We're going from top down. And the question is whether we're talking about paga or paga v'naga, is that if you're telling me that the din mishmei rov is paga b'chiti trefa, so what does that mean? It might mean as long as your knife came right up against the chiti and didn't go any higher than that, meaning on the top of the chiti, it's kosher. Or does it mean paga v'naga? No. It can't be entirely on the top of it. It has to hit the chiti. Because if it doesn't even hit the chiti, it's too high. Then it's a hagrama. Now, if that was the question, then the raya from Rav Papi is a beautiful raya. Itmar says Rav Papi, shir b'chiti. So it's only shir b'chiti. Meaning that you needed to hit the chiti and leave a little bit. But if you didn't leave a little bit of the chiti and your knife is entirely above the chiti, it would be possible. Then it works in beautifully. I'll leave it to Tosfos. What doesn't work in beautifully is Marbar of Ashi. Because if Paga b'chiti k'shera, and the way Tosfos is learning, Paga b'chiti means from top down, how could Shir b'chiti, which is even lower and better to the Bakum Shkita, be traced? Therefore, Tosfos inverts the language of Marbar of Ashi to have it fit into what was previously said, and that it's part of paga b'chiti is trefa, shir b'chiti is k'shera. Now everything makes sense. Everybody's using the word paga in the same way. Paga v'lo naga. Shir is talking about more of a reason to be makshir than paga, because it's closer down. Exactly the mirror image of Rashi's approach to the sugya. And this way everything ties in. So, in the end, the Gemara said yesterday that Yilchasa Mishipui Kova V'lamata K'shera, that's the first words on your test. Behind the Shir B'chiti, if we say from the place on the Kova that it begins to curve in as it goes higher, so at that point, if you shift that point down, and that is in fact the equivalent of Shir B'chiti. If you shift there, you've shifted in the Chitim, but not above the Chitim. So both according to Rashi and Tosfos, that's good. And then it would mean, let's go back now. So what are our shitot? Our shitot range all the way from the Tabat HaGdolah entirely, which is Tanakama, through the Tabat HaGdolah Ruba, which is Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda, through the next stage up is Rashi's Paga V'lo Naga B'chiti. Correct? The next stage up is Paga V'shir. So shir b'chiti. And the next stage up is that you're above b'chiti. And the furthest stage up is Reish Lakish, who holds even b'chuta d'kuva. Those are the various shitas that we've had, according to all of the deos. Now there's one additional thing which I didn't remind you of today, which is how to understand Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. Remember that Rav and Shmuel said that Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda was only referring to the Tabat HaGdolah, and not referring to the Tabat HaKtana. We know that Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda himself didn't say that.
He said, Ashok et Bashar hatabaot kshira.
It's really wonderful that this comes out during the Lord of the Rings period. But
if you shecht during in the Sha'at HaBa'ot, so then it would be kosher. Okay, so we have a machlokas within Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda himself says, I don't care whether we're talking about Sha'at HaBa'ot or we're talking about the Tabat HaGedolah. Rav and Shmuel suggest that they hold that what it was that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda said is only meaningful because they don't believe a word he says about the rest of it. It's only meaningful in terms of Tabat HaGedolah. However, we have three different shitas in the Rishonim, more, but we've discussed three, as to what it is that Rav and Shmuel are saying about Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. What does it mean? Now, Rashi's favorite pshat is that the meaning of he never said it about the other Taba'ot is to say that, believe it or not, you cannot shech in the other Taba'ot at all. Why not? Because it's not really called koneh. Bishleim, if the tabat goes completely around the koneh, then that area is koneh. But if there's a tabat, if what I see is a tabat, which is connected in the back with connective tissues, because in itself is only a horseshoe, then you don't have a complete, a koneh means a round tube. And where these tabaot are, I don't have a round tube. I have a tube that's only horseshoe shaped, and then it's filled in by connective tissue in the back. That's not called kana b'klal. It goes around rove of the kana. Rebuta does not hold that rove can create a makam shkita. He only holds given a makam shkita, the rove of that makam shkita would be kosher if you shaped it. That's how, at least, when I say Rebuta's Rebuta, I mean Rav and Shmuel in Rebuta's Rebuta Shita. Rebuta's Rebuta himself didn't hold that. That's one approach.
It's a very limited area.
No, you'd have to check between the tabot. You can't check where there's cartilage in the kona, unless you're talking about on the tabot HaGolah.
I don't think it's kona, it's just where these tabot are.
Where the tabot are, that cancels the din of kona. Right. The second shot that Rashi suggests is that the Shar HaTaba'ot have a din of Hagroma, meaning that if you start shechting inside of a Tabat, then any one of those Taba'ot, if you go out into the Kona, in between the Taba'ot, it's a Hagroma. Because having started a Shechita in a Tabat, you have to complete it in a Tabat. And over there, Rove doesn't count, because the Tabat itself doesn't cover Rove, and therefore having cut through Rove Tabat, you have still done a hagroma by going out of the tabat, because rove isn't really rove. It's rove of a horseshoe, but it's not rove of the circle. So where you don't have a full circumference of the circle, the rove of whatever limited circumference you have is not rove of the entire kana. That's his second shot, which is a tremendous chiddush, because it creates a bit of hagroma, not outside of the mokum shchita, but outside of the mokum that you were shechting. Completely different idea. We never heard of such a thing before.
After the knife moves, once you start cutting down, after the knife moves.
Yeah, I know
that
you cut it.
After the knife
moves. Well, try cutting. Have you never tried cutting a melon? And believe it or not, there you are, and then you don't cut. You come out with a cut that's that one piece goes up in one direction, one piece goes up in the other direction, and your wife throws out the melon. And then what do you do?
An angle.
Exactly. You cut it at an angle, so your knife goes in the wrong way. So now, there's another shot, which we mentioned also yesterday, in which Rashi Tanya it doesn't seem to make sense, but for a very simple reason. The other shot is that the rove, all we're saying is that Bishara Taba'ot Lo means shechting rove in the Shara Taba'ot is not considered to be rove of the Kana. Not because of Agroma. What it is that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda said, that you go al pnei rubo, we should not make the mistake of thinking that means al pnei rubo of a tabat haktana, because there it's measured by the kona and not by the tabat, obviously. So Rashi says, first of all, that's rather obvious. I mean, how can anybody argue about that? But the point of the other kiddush would be, is that we would passel, therefore, shchita, even in a case where you did rove of the kana, Because if you don't do kulo, then we're afraid that you'll measure your rov on the basis of the tabat and not on the basis of the underlying comment. The reason Rashi doesn't like this pshat, even though it makes perfectly good sense in and of itself, is that in context, it doesn't have nothing to do with agrama. What's it shayach to agrama b'chol? It's a gzera, the tabat haktanot, otu, where you're going to check rov of the tabat and not rov of the karma. It has nothing to do with agrama at all. And so first of all, Rashi says, you're leaving out the main reasoning. I mean, you're not saying what the point is over here, that there is such a gzera. And secondly, what does this have to do with agrama? There's not a din in agrama, there's a din in shvita, if you're not migrant. I mean, we've been talking about agrama over here, all of a sudden you're bringing in something else at all. What are you telling me? Olo mekifin as rov akana. What does that have to do with? So, therefore, Rashi likes his pshat, which is a tremendously mechudish pshat, as we said, and that is that a tabat is not a mokum shvita b'chlal. Now, of course, none of this is no gei alalot, because we don't paskin like any of this. We paskin like the Edus. We don't paskin like either the Rabbanan or like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin the Edus of Rav Chanina ben Antignus. In which case, none of these shitas ever became muvuraros lahalacha because it wasn't nogea lahalacha. Alright, so there we have a review, basically, of the shitas that we've seen so far, and we added today Tesis's approach in the sugya to make it clear what I'm sure was troubling you yesterday towards the end of the daf, that transition from Rav Papi to Rav Papa is extremely strange, the way that Rashi is learning it.
What
she did,
what she did, did they rely on?
If no, Rashi does. Rashi himself says it's not Megillah Halacha. Just saying, in the Gemara, it seems to him that this is the best pshat, his first pshat.
The Halacha
is the sheep with Tova. Like Reb Chanina ben Antignos, but what is the shear of Reb Chanina ben Antignos? Paga b'kiti, the sheep with Tova l'man. Reb Nachman Aksha Meshipa Kova Lamata, and Reb Nachman indeed was Maksha Lehalacha from the Shipa Kova Lamata. Omale Reb Chanan Barav Katino, Reb Nachman, so now Reb Chanan Barav Katino, who knew the Mishnah, he said, I don't understand. I mean, gosh, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah gives two Shitas, either the Rabbanan or Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, both of which are dependent in the Tabat Hagdola, and you're saying Shipa Kova, I don't understand. Come on, loka rabbanan v'loka rabbi Yosef rabbi Yehuda. Oh, Marlai said, Reb Nachman, amen. I don't know if Filik Yadana v'lok Yadana. I don't know if no Jorah or no Shmoz. Don't tell me any names. Ana Shmaita Yadana. I know a halacha that was given over b'shmua for my rabbeim. Yom Rav Tia Barava, Om Rav Yochanan. Some say it's Om Rav Baber Zepar Zavd, Om Rav Chanina. Some say it's Om Rav Yaakov Baridi, Om Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. They all basically say, Mishipui Kovel about the Kshera, I don't know any Kokmas. Well, are you getting me involved in Mishnayas and Shitas? This is our local Amitza. I'm the Pesach over here in the year. This is the way we've been doing it. This is the Kapolas that we have. This is how we pass. And obviously all of this was based on the Edus of Rebbe Chanina ben Antignos. The Om Rebbe Yehoshua ben Levi, another interesting thing that Rebbe Yehoshua ben Levi points out is that if you consider it, the organization goes, the Mugrimis, what is called a Mugrimis according to Rabbanan, is perfectly kosher according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. What is a Mugrimis according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda is perfectly kosher according to Rav Chanina ben Antignos, right? So, well, yeah, I mean, but any two-year-old knows that too. I mean, it's very interesting, but why do I need Rav Yehoshua ben Levi to tell me that? Shita. Ah, it's not so kosher. Because Mao de Tema, Rav Chanina ben Antignos, are the Rabbanan kosher. How do you know that the Chanina ben Antignos is not a reference back to the Rabbanan, not to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda? Take a look back on the third line of Amud Beis before of Yud Ches. Umugremes Psula, you see that third line on Amud Beis. Amud Beis, you're looking at an olive. Don't turn any pages. Amud Beis of yesterday's God. Mugremes Psula. Now that was going according to Rabbanan. Umugremes Psula, right? That's some statement now I'll leave it to Rabbanan. Hey, Rebbe Chanina Antignos, Amugremes Sheik Sheva. Now, you could easily have misunderstood that as referring back to the Mugremes just mentioned. Namely, Mugremes of the Rabbanan.
Which would mean that basically the B'chanin of an antithesis is saying like Rabbi Yehuda. So you might have think, Mar de Tema, you might have thought that Rabbanim and Antignus had the Rabbanan Koi. Come on, no, he's rejecting Rabbi Yehuda as well. But how do you know? Not that you mentioned it. Amosinami, you know what? I didn't think of that. But maybe you're right. Maybe there's only two Shitas. And all he's adding is an Adas. In other words, Rabbanan say this, and he's made that indeed the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, so to speak. No, because he couldn't mean that. Because in Cain, why would he say Heid Rabbi Chanina Benat Tignes Al Mugremes? He should say Heid Aleha, and that's what we just said. Mugremes Psula, the Rabbanan's Mugremes Heid Rabbi Chanina Benat Tignes Sheik Shera, and then we would know it's a reference to Jezreel Rabbi Yehuda. So making a blanket statement, I don't care whose Mugremes it is, I hold it's kosher. Not the Rabbanan's, not Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, he represents now a new shita in what a Mugremes is. You can't hate Alami Boiler. The Hilchos of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, in terms of the practical application of the halacha, we follow Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, since Rabbi Nachman Paskin like him in practice. In theory, we would know that the halacha is like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, as Rashi pointed out yesterday, because every Hayid is a halacha. That we have to be Makabal, if the Bezdin was Makabal from him. And the question only would be whether would we act this way, or maybe we don't want to be moderate because people will end up maybe making a mistake. But here, practically speaking, now look is like Rav Chanina ben Antignus. Omer ben Amar Avati machloket b'sheshachat shnei shlish v'higrim shlish. Now we have a machloket in our Mishnah. That machloket between the Rabban and Rav Yossi is only where you started doing your Shkita, you did two-thirds of the Shkita correctly, let's say. Remember, two-thirds we're saying just past Rove, in other words. So you do two-thirds of the Shkita correctly, and now at the last third, your night slips out, goes up above the Tabat HaGdolah, because that's the Makhlokas in the Mishnah, right?
That's
Shnei Shlish of the whole thing. And your Magrim, one Shlish. So the Rabbanan insists that the whole Tabat HaGdolah, there has to be a sliver of the Tabat HaGdolah all the way across. Rabbi Yehuda says, why? As long as it was Rove, it's fine. So Shnei Shlish, for sure, it's fine. The Rabbanan hold Kula, Shkita Bina B'Tabat HaGdolah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rubo Kekula. That's all that we're arguing. However, suppose you started off with the Hagroma. So you were Magrim Shlish, and then you do the last two-thirds b'kashrut, b'shokat shnei shlish, over there to Yaakov Psula. Everybody would hold its Psula. Why? Because even Rabbi Yehuda, he wasn't, it's not the point that he's looking at the whole shkita and he's saying, well, the important thing is you've got two-thirds that's kosher. That's not the point. The point is that at the moment that I'm actually being makshir the animal with shchita, which is at the point where I hit the road, at that point I need that it should be the ruba with an act of shchita. And I don't have that point because I started out with agrama. So Rabbi Yehuda was only saying, look, once you achieved the rove b'shchita, then it's fine. I don't care if afterwards, you might just as well have stopped. So who cares if you go out of the makam shchita? But if at the point that you achieved the rove, you didn't have a shchita, because you were basically outside of the mokum shchita, so then it would not be kosher, even according to me, because tidapak chiyus, at the point where the animal now loses its life, in terms of halacha, that's the point of the rove, at that point you need rove of a shchita, you don't have that.
So it would be in the veil?
Yeah. Omar Le Rechista, Adarab, you know what? I would say just the opposite. I would say Le Mamar Ibcha. You could say just the opposite. You could say Machalok, Espeshi Igrim Shlish, Beshachat Shnei Shlish. I would say you start with a Shlish, you end up finding two thirds of the Shchita is kosher. But over there, Rabbi Yehuda says, what's wrong with that? Suppose you started off with a windpipe that was precisely halfway torn. The animal's kosher, isn't it? A windpipe is only matrif if it's rove. There's a slit through rove. The esophagus, the veshet, passes even a small hole. is treva. But the kana needs to be rove. Okay. So let's say you start with an animal that has a slit across its throat, but it doesn't cover rove. What do you mean? Somebody cut it right from the neck. They were practicing doing tracheotomies. What's the problem? So the animal breathes through a tube. It had a problem breathing.
It
might not
be a lifestyle.
Hmm?
See, I can
cut
most of the
windpipe,
but it wouldn't be a lifestyle.
No, not necessarily. You can put a tube in also. It's done all the time.
Yes.
Hmm? I mean, it's done all the time, unfortunately. People are.
They don't bother.
They don't bother, but if you bother, it's fine. Fine. So, okay, anyway, what's the difference? It's the aliens again, it's the old alien problem. So now, you have half of the kana that is shuffled. Comes along a guy now, and he checks the last millimeter. So now, did you have rove b'shchita? No. You had 1 millimeter b'shchita. Perfectly kosher, isn't it? Why not? All that was needed to be shefted was that millimeter. So I did. What's the problem? So now we have a kana that is mostly cut, and it was cut for shechita. So therefore, I would say exactly the same thing over here. Who cares how it starts? The important thing is how it finishes. So I would say, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, since nobody's going to argue about the fact that you can cut 1 millimeter of a 3 centimeter kana and still have it kosher, so you certainly don't need to have the non-mugremis at the beginning of the act. So if the last part of your act was kosher, that should be fine, I would say, since you have the, at the point of chatzikana pogum is the same thing, whereas the Rabbanan would say, no, you can't compare it, because over there at least you have a mokum shchita where you had a hole in the kana. Whereas over here, it's not in the Mokum Shchita at all, therefore you cannot be Metzar of something that's not in the Mokum Shchita to say that this Kana is essentially Shechted, because the first part of the action doesn't matter. But it's not essentially Shechted in a Mokum Shchita, so you can't include it. And that would be the Machlokas. But the other way around, the case you gave me, where you begin with doing a Shchita of 2/3, and now the last third you're Magrim, everybody would hold that that's kosher. Why would the Rabbanan argue about such a thing, I ask you? I mean, isn't there a did rubo shal echad kamol? It's a beferish mishnah. You shecht rove of the simen, it's as if you shecht for the whole simen. Why would the Rabbanan argue on that, I ask you? Well, I would say, let's invert it, say exactly the opposite of what you said. The only machlokas is where you started with agrama, not where you ended with agrama. Makes even more sense. Omalei Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, down. Wait. As far as that Mishnah, Ruba Shalachet Kamod, how do you know that that Mishnah is not precisely Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Shita? Maybe that Mishnah is simply an expansion of the approach of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. So, man neima lande ahu Ruba da asam la Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda katanima. Who's to say that that Mishnah was not said by Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda? Dilma Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda katanima. Maybe he's the author of that Mishnah. If he's the author of that Mishnah, it could be that the Rabbanan completely ignored the dinner grove over here. I don't know. Maybe it's some type of gezeirah or whatever. Or maybe they hold that when the Torah says zavach, that means the entire thing needs zvicha. Oh, my Abaye says, what kind of weird question is that? Now, what are you going to tell me? All the 10,000 references to rove throughout Shas, it's always for Joseph Rabbi Yehuda. Who can entertain such a nonsense? Oh, my Lord, excuse me? On a Ruba de Shchita Kamina, for heaven's sakes. We're all agreed that there certainly is some kind of machlokas over here about Rove and Shchita. And what are you turning to me and saying, oh, Rove, with that sarcastic tone? There's a Mishnah here that says the fairish, that there's a machlokas about Rove. Now you're analyzing that it means this. I'm saying maybe it means that. You're telling me, well, why would the Mishnah that talks about a Rove of Shchita be like Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda? And I turn to you and I say, well, it so happens that we know that when it comes to Shchita, it is Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda who says Rove, so maybe he's saying the Rove there too. Maybe they're up on an argue about Rove of the Siman. Anu Ruba de Shchita Kamina. The Shaman a little pligam, I mean, we know for a fact there is a machlokas when it comes to Shchita. Now, Lishna Achrina Amrila, this whole discussion is said in a different way. According to this version, Rav Huna initially quotes Rav Atzi, saying, by the way, I just want to point out that Tosfos says over here, don't be confused by the fact that Rav Huna quotes Rav Asi. We know Rav Huna couldn't possibly have quoted Rav Asi because the Gemara talks about Rav Asi being the Kohani Gedolei Beretz Yisrael, and it's Kofof to Rav Huna. So how could Rav Huna have quoted Rav Asi? Tosis brings that there was another Rav Asi. This isn't the Rav Asi together with Rav Ami that were at the time of the Siyam HaShas, the Kohani Hashiva Dara Yisrael. This is another Rav Asi that he quotes. Okay, so so in this version, indeed, we start off by saying, machlokas is that you started with hagrama and completed with the non-hagrama, which is what we suggested in the first lashon, should be the approach, and this lashon is the approach. And the rabbanan say, no, chatzi kana pogrom, if you start off with a whole, that's much different because over there it's Mokum Shchita, here it's not the Mokum Shchita. Aval, Shokat Shnei Shlish V'Higrim, Shlish Divako Kshira, Totsnan Ruba Shalakot Kamoth. In other words, in this version, the Taina that we had against the initial version that was given is here the version that is correct. We start with it. And we Taina on it in this version. Rav Chisda comes along as a hatkafa against it by saying, and what about the man leimlanda who rubed asam lab rabbi yes rabbi katani la? You're saying rubed shalakat kamo, everybody agrees. How do you know everybody agrees? Maybe it's rabbi yes rabbi katani la. And in this version, it's rabbi Yosef who was the one who says, what? You're trying to tell me, call rubed the almas rabbi yes rabbi Yehuda. Last time that was an attack, right? And he answered, Rabbi Yosef, Anu Ruba de Shlita Kamina, de Shabanu Lil Plinya. So we invert the people who say which over here. But the idea is that they say, now, Yigrim Shlish, how about you start off Agrama, you then continue to do Shlita for one third, and then you do Agrama again. Now, here, Lachor, no matter how you look at it, you're really in trouble because you don't have the robe of the whole act. It's not b'shchita. What's more, is even when you get to the makom robe, you don't have a robe b'shchita. So how does that work? Rav Huna Marav says nonetheless it's kosher. Rav Yudah Marav says it's trefa. Note both of them are quoting Rav. These different versions of what Rav had said. What's the logic behind it? Rav Huna Marav says, look, all that's important is, what were you doing at the point where you reached the robe? Because that's what is going to define everything. If at the point that you reached the robe of the kana, you were doing an act of shechita, then that means that the chiyusa of the animal, kinafat chiyusa, when the animal's life was completed, halachically, so b'shechita nafat, he was doing now an act of shechita, and it's kosher. Whereas the rabbanan taina, Rav Yehuda says that what Mel Rav's reasoning is, it's trefa because you still need robe done b'shchita overall, and over here you have two-thirds that's not done b'shchita. V'lecha, you don't have that. Fine. In the opposite case, you start off doing a shchita of shlish, Richie, and then you go out for the middle shlish, the Hebrew shlish, and then you put your bed knife back down the shokat shlish. So there, Rav Yehuda Marav says kshera, the opposite, which makes perfectly good sense, because after all, Rabbi Yehuda Marav's point was that you need Rov B'Shchita. Okay, over here you do have Rov B'Shchita. He says, look at the entire act. Over here you do have the entire act. They came and they asked, Rav Huna, what would you say? And Rav Huna didn't know what Rav said, but he said, I'll tell you logically, I would say it's trefa. Which of course also makes perfectly good sense for Shita Tov. Because according to his Shita, what counts is the place where it was Nafak Shiyusa. Over here was not b'chiyusa shalom b'shchita, was not b'chiyusa b'agrama.
The middle third.
But he didn't hear this from Rav. He said this mitzad to asvara. You notice it doesn't say Omar Rav. It says Omar Rav Huna. I think mitzad asvara is trefa.
Is chiyusa
b'rov? Not b'chiyusa is the point of not b'chiyusa. The chiyut went away. That's the moment of rov. Yeah. Now, Rav Yehuda heard about this, and he was really upset about it. He said, this is insane. I mean, I say something straight, they go to him and he says it's kosher. I say something's kosher, they go to him and I say it's straight. But it's like bedavka. Everything I say is the opposite. Talifnu ma'achshe ma'achshar na'vatzorit. Om Ravuna, Ravuna said, you know, he's right to be makbar on me. I mean, first of all, chada yushmi alei minei derav analoshmi. I mean, he was quoting Rav. I wasn't quoting Rav in my second psak. I was just saying logically. So, I mean, he has a right to be makbar on me. Furthermore, he has a point. The point being, look, I mean, lamaisa rov is b'shchita, the first third and the last third. I mean, why shouldn't you define the act by the rov? Amalei Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda said, Ravuna, I advise you not to change your mind on this issue. Lo ta'ader b'cha, don't change your mind and agree with them. Deem kentet, if you change your mind, mafsarta lo lakamaisa, you're going to lose on the first case too. And over there you were quoting Rav. Because if all of a sudden you're going to look at the entire act and you're going to say, well, the important thing is it's rov b'shchita, then that means you're going to deny the logic that you had before from quoting Rav, which is what's important is what was happening to Nafa Kiyusa. See, you can't just change your mind like that. Why did you say it was kosher? I know you were quoting Rav. Even though rov was not b'shchita. Because you were saying the chinapik yusab echshirik anapik. All that's important is what was happening at the point of rov. Okay, so that, I mean, you have to extend that sfar in both directions. What good is it going to do to have rov shchita? You need to have shchita at the moment of anapik yusab. Therefore, in this case, achanami, chinapik yusab agromak anapik. Over here, it's not going out to shchita. And if you want to be consistent, you can't play games and say, well, he's really right. He's not really right. You can't have it both ways. You're going to pass them like Rob like this, then this would be what you have to believe that Rob would have said in your case too. Equal.
Well, I didn't ask about that side of it.
You didn't hear. You didn't hear from Rob.
It's almost far because it's impossible to hear.
Well, not really. Well, you can think of it yourself. Obviously, he has. Equal Rav Nachman Masura. Rav Nachman came to Surah and they asked him, Bo mine, shachat shlish vehigrim shlish, veshachat shlish ma. What would be the din? You start off with shchita, then you do agrama, and then you do shchita again. No, a zigzag. It's basically what we've been talking. We've been talking about zigzags. Now, let me just point out, there's a little bit of a problem over here. Because they can't be talking about the Rabbanan and Rav Yossi's this later part over here where Higrim Shlish, Shachat Shlish, Higrim Shlish, or vice versa, right? Because I mean, over there, he himself said, Rav Huna himself said before we started this last Shlish Shlish Shlish, that even in the case of Higrim Shlish for Shachat Shnei Shlish, that it was no good over there. You have both things, you have both Mayos. So what, he's contradicting himself? Remember, originally Ravuna said that unless you have Rov B'shchita at the point of Rov, that was a whole different idea. So first of all, Rashi points out that was Ravuna Alibi to Rabasi, which Tosfos also points out. This is Ravuna Alibi to Rav. And there he wasn't talking, there he was talking about the Machlokas Rabban and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Here we're talking about the real Mugremis. It's a completely different halacha. Over there, the machlokas Rav Yosef Rav Rabbanan was indeed a function of rov. The entire thing, the whole machlokas was focused on the question of rov. Rav Chanina ben Antignas is a shayla in general. This is mugremes. What do we look at? Nafakusha or the maisa? That he said in the name of Rav, it had nothing to do with the original sugya, which was talking about a whole different issue. It's important to keep that in mind, but otherwise it doesn't make no sense at all. Ravuna ends up contradicting himself entirely. So when we came up with this, as our president points out, suddenly we realize we're talking about zigzags, which means that if you take a look at what this neck looks like after this crazy guy's finished with it, it looks like a comb. Right? We had it going up and down, up and down. So Amar Luther, he said, okay, so Lavayin and Rav Elazar ben Yomi, is it that Rav Elazar ben Yomi's din, where he said, Yom Rav Elazar ben Yomi, Shchita Atziya Kematzrik, Shira? If your Shchita looks like you're combing the neck over here, and you turn it into a comb, you go up and then go down and up and down. It's kosher, what's wrong? And so you see that doesn't matter. What are you talking about? That's talking about where it was B'mokam Shchita. I'm asking you where the top of the cone is outside of the Makom Shechita you're bringing me. Bring me a raya that a shechita made like a comb. It happens to be, it's like a comb. But my shaila wasn't about the comb part, my shaila was about the place part. Maybe he was talking about the Makom Shechita? The Dilma of the Makom Shechita? No. I mean, what's the chiddush for Makom Shechita? Why should it not be kosher if it's like a comb? Why do I need anybody to tell me that it's kosher? What Havamin is not kosher? Tell me which one of the five issues of Shechita I was over if I cut it like a comb. So far it's not sloppy. No? So what? Well, what does that have to do with it? The Torah said you can't be sloppy in Shechita. Well, when it's not a tailor, after all. It's Mr. Scheifer, not Mr. Chait. So what's the problem? So if it's the Makom Shechita, my own man, what's the chiddush? Because Magatema, I might have thought the Inan Shechita Mifurat, Veleka. That the din of shechita, it's what we said before, that beis shechita mirbach rabach, it cuts, it opens up wide, maybe that's the idiom of a shechita. When we say, I'm going to slit your throat, you're not talking about going up and down like a cone, you're talking about slitting the guy's throat. Use your imagination. Now the Englishmen, they don't like that kind of imagination, they're too civilized. Okay, so therefore comes along now the Rebbe Elazar ben Yomi's minor to tell me that you don't need Shechita Mufurat, but certainly you need to be B'makom Shechita. So therefore we don't have a riot from Rebbe Elazar ben Yomi.
What's
Mufurat mean? Mufurat, parua, wide open. Ki par'a ha'aron l'shim tza b'komehim. Yosef Rebbe Abba korei d'Rav Kahana. So Rebbe Abba was sitting behind Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosi Nekomar, Shachat Shlish, Vehegrim Shlish, Veshachat Shlish Ma'al. So we give a little Shabbatina over here. What's the dinner? You start off with Shechita, then you do Hagram, then you do Shechita. Omar Lusay says, Shechita Tekshera. And how about Hegrim Shlish, Veshachat Shlish, Vehegrim Shlish Ma'al? Omar Lo, Shechita Tekshua. Okay, so apparently what's important over here is Rov, we say. Rov is for Shechita, it's Kosh. Shachat b'makom nekev mahu. Now, obviously, as Tosas points out, everybody knows what the din is because that's called chatzikana pogum. Chatzikana pogum is the fairish halacha. Everybody knows. Doesn't matter if there's a pagan. He's just leading us. Trying to trap him. So he says, okay, how about with a hole that goes up to half, and you shach with that hole? What's the din? It doesn't share. Okay. Now this is another. Suppose a half hole. Suppose the half hole is in the back part of the kana. So you start shechting. Oh man, you can't shech rove because by the point you get up to rove, you hit the hole. So now is that a kosher shechita or not? So what would be the din? Shachatu paga bo nekev mahu, amalei shechita subsuva. Yeah, you're right. In that case, indeed, the Shechita would be possible. Rav Abba went ahead and he said over this conversation to Rav Elazar. And Rav Elazar squealed to Rav Yochanan about this conversation. And Rav Yochanan was outraged. I mean, my Shnan said, what's the difference if you check from inside the hole or from outside the hole? This I got to hear. Amalei, well, I'll tell you. If you shecht inside the hole, imagine for yourself, a goy had taken this animal and started cutting the kana. In walks the shecht and he says, get your hands off of that! Only a Jew is allowed to do that. Fine, so he drops the knife. Comes along the shecht and he completes the shechita. Is it kosher shechita? Absolutely. Now, suppose the kosher shecht shechts only half and he gets a telephone call, and you know you drop anything for a telephone call, including the shechita. And now we have half of a kana that shechted. Comes along the guy, he says, well, I'll just finish up the little last part. So he finishes off the last millimeter. Is it kosher? It's not kosher. He said, what's the difference? What's the difference if the guy starts? What's the difference if the guy finishes? Ah! So you see, it makes all the difference in the world. So if you've got a hole in the beginning, that's the guy. Now you complete it, so now the Jew completed the Shechita. But if you've got a hole in the end, that's the goy. That means that the goy finished the Shechita. Brilliant, huh? So Shachat, b'makom nekev na'aseh k'misha shachat over to come in the Gomer Yisrael. Shachat, u'pagabo nekev. But if you shecht and you hit the nekev from the other side, that would be the same as the Shachat Yisrael half, And the guy comes along and checks the next half. And Rabbi Yochanan says, oh my God. What are you talking about? Comparing this to Obik Yochanan, it's nonsensical, the comparison. Boy, is he right. What kind of wonders is this? Let's take the case. A Jew checks half of a corner, doesn't check the whole thing, comes along the guy, finishes the last millimeter, it's possible. Of course it's possible! Because what was the Jew supposed to shecht? The wrong? So, me the habit of the Yisrael and Mishchat Ruva, velo shachar. He should have checked the robe, and he didn't. So what do you have over here? Possible shita. I never invite the mice of shita. My shank ain't over here. So there, kinabakri used to be, you ought to do a victor of the at the point where it was robe of the shita. That's the point where the animal dies. It's a great shita. What was I supposed to check over here? I'm the shaykhid. Tell me what my shita consists of. Half. That's all there is to check. And if I check that half, is it kosher? Yes. So how do you compare that to a case where I shechted half where I was supposed to shecht whole? This corner consists of a chatzi corner. So if I shecht the chatzi corner, I shechted everything there is to shecht. So what's your problem? What kind of silly comparison is this? The man is doing a shechita of everything that he's supposed to do. So mali b'mokam nekev, mali p'gav nekev, who cares if you hit the hole from one side or from the other side? The point is that the nekev is mitztarek. The corner was shechted. As much as needed to be shechted was shechted. I don't understand the comparison.
It's not the nekev doesn't make the thing a treifa.
No, because only a rove nekev makes a treifa in the corner. Only in the vesha the nekev makes it.
The Heilige Mishnah.
Hashochet min hatzadim shechitato kishira. So if you shecht not directly in the front of the neck, you shecht on the side of the neck, and there you get the simoni. Shechitas kosher. By the way, there's a little bit of a question whether Shechita is kosher only by Avad. Rashi said no. Actually, the Shechita is kosher even with Chatzchila, except because of the continuation of the Mishnah we've been talking about by Avad by Malika, so we use the Lashon of by Avad by Shechita, but actually Shechita is kosher. Tosis Taina that maybe there's a Gezerah that's involved in that studying, because if you don't have the Simonim turned to the side also, there's always a chashash, you might hit the mafrekas and turn it into a treifa. So maybe maybe it really means only b'diavad. Hamolik, I'm not studying, but malika, it's very interesting, because malika essentially is the antithesis of shchita. The shchita has to be done from the front with a back and forth motion of a knife. Malika has to be done, doctor, from the back, going through the spine. And using a fingernail and not a knife, and we'll see whether you're even allowed to use a back and forth motion in Malika. But you press down. So if you do a Malika from the side, it's possible because it has to be done in a Mula Oref, as we'll see. Hashochet mina Oref. Now, if you do Shechita from the back of the neck, the Shechita is possible. As a matter of fact, you turn the animal into a treifer because you cut through the spine. Hamolek min ha'oref, or you do malik min ha'oref, and the cross of sherev, that's the way you're supposed to do malik. Again, it uses the loshe b'diavad because it wanted to say even b'diavad b'reshit is possible. Hashochet min ha'tzavar, shchitas of sherev, I should hope so. But again, it's a contrast to the malik, that's important. Hamolek min ha'tzavar, malikato psula. Shekol ha'oref kosha malika, v'kol ha'tzavar kosha v'shchita. The entire back of the neck is kosher for malika, and the entire neck is kosher for shchita. Nimtza kosher for shchita, possible malika, kosher for malika, possible for shchita. Therefore, and this is going to begin now a series of mishnayos, in what's good for the goose is bad for the gander. Richie, it's not going to help you to run that loop in the last 2 seconds. Now, asks the Gemara, when you say Oref, what is an Oref? Now it's important to note that in the Lashon HaMeduberet, an Oref is the back of the neck. However, in the Torah, an Oref is not the back of the neck. The Oref is the bottom of the skull, the part which is up to the neck, and that is the extension of the spinal column, up against the area that the jaw and the face would be. So whatever small little piece is in the hollow of the neck behind the skull, that's called the oreth. The nape. So my oreth. Therefore the Gemara asks, when the Mishnah talk about an oreth, what does it mean? Even oreth mamish. If it's talking about the literal technical oreth as found in the Torah. So then my Irish shok, what are you telling me? Shchit of oreth is possible. Even Malika in the oreth is possible. Because when the Torah says Malika, it says mimul orpo. Facing the oreth, not the oreth itself. The orpo. Hello, my oreth, the meaning of the oreth as used in the Mishnah, is mimul oreth. I could prove that to you, by the way. That the language oreth in contemporary Hebrew, meaning at the time of the Mishnah, Mishnaic Hebrew, is the way we use oreth. Mul oreth means the part of the neck which face on the back, which faces, it's on the back because it faces the nape. So whatever faces the nape on the neck is called in our Mishnah the oreth. Right. This is the nape. It's not. This is the oreth. The rest of this is facing it. It's against. If you're standing on it, the lower neck.
It's facing the oreth.
Yeah. The yeah. All right. So when it uses oreth, it actually means mul oreth. And I'll prove to you that that's the way the Chazal here are using the language in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah wouldn't even make sense. It says kol oreth kashal malika. What do you mean kol oreth kashal malika? There is no kol oreth. The technical oreth is tiny. I mean, it's all oreth as if you've got some merchav there. Well, what, you've got 2 centimeters. But if you're talking about, no, it must mean komul, yeah. In other words, the word oreth must mean komul oreth, because there isn't really a large fish which we call oreth, correct? Now, minani mili, how do we know that this is the halakha that's on Rabbanan? Mimul orpo. Mul means that which is visible to. And we find that v'hu yoshev mimuli. V'hu yoshev mimuli means we're sitting here looking out at these horrific Jews coming in, and we're standing right there, and there we see them, and this is terrifying, and it's time to curse them. Right, so he's seeing them. Furthermore, it says, ki panu alai oref alo panim. They turn their oref to me, not their face. What's that? Maiva Omer, what does that have to do with it? No. Because it says mimul oref. We've proved mul means roef, but we haven't proved what the oref is. It's what is the oref, technically? V'chi temet that you'll say to me, well, you haven't shown me what the oref is. Oref gufa lo yadana hecha. I don't know where an oref is, but I should know where the mul of it is. The neidam muldi de hecha. First, tell me where the oref is. Tashmaki padu alai oref alo panim. If you're telling me, you're contrasting. They turned their to me instead of their face, and obviously the is the part where the face would have been if they were facing the right direction. So that's the nape, not the neck. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya, you know what? I'll let you go. You seem to be tortured enough for one day. But this is pretty exciting, no? Come on, we got some hot stuff over here. Lots of beautiful sheep.
We'll turn our next one.
Opposite is a sense of the ability to see.
Amen.